Jim Cramer made a call last week that has legs, regardless of what you think of Cramer as a market commentator. Wall Street is rotating out of AI infrastructure plays and into software and retail names. The logic is straightforward. AI infrastructure, chips, data centers, power infrastructure, absorbed enormous capital in 2024 and 2025. Now, investors want to see revenue and earnings from that investment, and the patience for build it and they will come narratives is running short. Microsoft's situation is exhibit A for what the rotation looks like when it works. The company revealed a $678 billion AI services backlog and surged 22% in a week. That's not a promise. That's contracted revenue. That number changes the narrative from when will AI monetize to AI has monetized and the queue is enormous.
The SpaceX situation is more complex and more interesting than just Musk's personal wealth changes. The company is reporting its first ever quarterly earnings today, and it's walking into that report with a $26 billion short interest, the largest in SpaceX's history. That tells you there's a large, sophisticated bet that the earnings will disappoint or that the stock's post-IPO valuation was stretched. Kathy Wood at ARK Invest purchased $14.3 million in shares in late July, which is either a contrarian conviction play or an averaging down after losses, depending on your perspective. SpaceX's stock has fallen 50% from its post-IPO high.
The Musk wealth story, over $600 billion in paper losses between Tesla and SpaceX, is significant not just as a human interest number, but because of what it implies about his political and business leverage. Musk's ability to fund political operations, buy media properties, and influence tech governance has been partly predicated on his paper wealth. As that number compresses, the resource base for those activities shrinks. Tesla specifically missed its profit targets, and Cramer's advice to believe in Musk is an interesting indicator of just how much Tesla's valuation has become personality-driven rather than fundamentals-driven.
AstraZeneca's situation is a fascinating example of a deal that investors emphatically did not want. Shares tumbled on reports of preliminary discussions about a merger with Bristol Myers Squibb at a combined valuation approaching $400 billion. The market reaction was negative for AstraZeneca specifically because investors read a deal at this scale as AstraZeneca paying a premium that doesn't justify the synergies. Pharmaceutical mega-mergers have a historically mixed record on shareholder value creation, and the sheer size of the proposed combination is triggering significant antitrust questions, which circles back to what Sarah was explaining about how market dominance alone isn't the legal threshold, but the FTC would certainly be examining exclusivity in specific drug markets.
The labor market data from Oxford Economics deserves attention because it's genuinely counterintuitive. Their analysis suggests the monthly break-even rate for job creation, the number of new jobs needed just to hold unemployment steady, has fallen to 50,000 and will reach zero by 2027. The mechanism is immigration curbs, reducing the flow of new workers, combined with baby boomer retirements, shrinking the labor pool from the other end. The implication is that weak job reports, which historically signal economic trouble, may not mean the same thing they used to if the labor force itself is contracting. Whether that's a feature or a bug for economic policy is genuinely contested.
Apple's foldable iPhone story comes in two flavors today. Pricing-wise, we're looking at $2,000 plus for the device, with an optional $60 to $70 monthly lease option, which is Apple testing a subscription model for hardware, essentially. The lease price suggests they're trying to smooth the sticker shock for consumers who balk at the upfront cost. The new CEO, John Ternus, is set to lead his first keynote on September 9th, which is also when the foldable is expected to debut. Separately, Apple is steering buyers toward the MacBook Pro amid a severe air shortage, which is either a supply chain issue or a deliberate inventory management strategy to protect Pro margins. Probably some of both.
The AI retail trading story connects all of this consumer and market news. AI tools are now allowing retail investors to construct strategies that previously required institutional quant teams, backtesting, factor exposure, portfolio optimization. The risk side of that story is that the same tools that democratize access can also accelerate the velocity of correlated trades when things go wrong. If 50,000 retail traders are all running variations of the same AI-generated strategy, the unwinding when that strategy breaks can be violent and simultaneous.
And Trump media transferring another $165 million in Bitcoin to Crypto.com is worth noting as a data point about how that organization is managing its balance sheet. It's a large, active crypto position for a media company whose core business is a social media platform. The financial risk profile of Trump media is genuinely unusual.